Welcome to Freudcast with our first guest, Bovril Gesellschaft.
Welcome to Freudcast. Welcome to Freudcast. And I would like to thank the Freuds immensely for having me on.
Thrilled to have you.
I am very, very excited as well.
And we actually have a live audience this time.
I'm so scared of them. I'm literally, I can't speak because I can feel them behind me.
I like it when people watch it. I love an audience. And,
do you engage in exhibitionism frequently?
Only socially. I just like having people to watch and applaud periodically.
Do you have like a list of all the like dogging laybys?
I don't know if you've seen the sort of people who live just outside London, but you do not want to have sex with any of them in the car at 10 at night. So, do you approve of dogging in principle? I just like the idea that the English somehow invented the sex act which would be improved by a thermos of something most nights. But
yeah, so we've got the Anglo-Futurists sitting in...
I hate it so much. I need them to
get the...
I like it. We have to
see their reactions. So they're literally behind me and it's like the angel and the devil on my shoulder.
You're trying to hear for our laughter at all times.
Yeah, like a live laugh track.
Challenge. Say, is there any other way other than socially to go dogging?
I feel like you can do it antisocially. If you're like autistic.
I suspect most of the people who go dogging regularly are.
Yeah.
But you met your wife on OkCupid, right?
I did. The inverse of dogging, in that it was the one dating site you actually had to sort of create something with personality around you. It was a dating site for word cells.
Yeah.
It was that period just before Tinder dropped and everyone just sort of hit each other up and started rutting like hogs. And, It was a happy time, absolutely. Everyone's
I saw Hogman the other day, actually.
Where?
In Birmingham.
Oh.
Yeah, he was present.
He's so young, bless him. He's still a hog boy.
Yeah. No, he's so bright and bushy-tailed.
Oh. I have no idea who Hogman is. I assumed he was some sort of urban legend like Purple Aki.
No,
R.I.P. Purple Aki, shout out to him. Pour one out for my homies.
Wait, who's that?
How do you not know who Purple Aki is?
I didn't know. I was pretending I didn't know.
Purple Aki. He was a man of Nigerian extraction, best known for hanging around the Liverpool and Birkenhead areas, approaching young men and demanding to feel their muscles.
Wow.
And he became something of an urban legend in the area and then went national, really, thanks to Count Dankula in 2010.
Right. Count Dankula.
How do you not remember Count Dankula? He was a guy with a pug who trained to do a Nazi salute.
Yeah. And the pug died, right? Recently?
Yes, the pug died incredibly
God
recently.
God bless him.
He got shot. the pug got shot. It's like Rupert Lowe put him down. With his massive rifle.
Far right extremists.
We truly are in the British Years of Ledge right now.
Fuck, everyone's getting shot. Yeah.
It's the most dangerous job in the world being a pug who can do a Nazi salute.
Most dangerous job in the world being a podcaster.
Yeah. Which he was.
Yeah. How did you react to the shooting yesterday?
Complete disbelief, in all honesty. He was. Charlie Kirk always was sort of a background presence in my life, roughly my age. Did sort of done his own thing. He had people we knew in common. Really carved out his own niche. He was doing so well in his own sort of worlds, and you just assume to be around forever, and suddenly in about 5 seconds you can get completely cut off.
It's frightening.
Absolutely terrifying. And I watch a video, it just looks absolutely awful for him. If there's any comfort whatsoever, he would have been unconscious pretty much immediately. There was really no realistic coming back from that. But there was just so much commentary around it on Twitter. Everyone seems convinced this is the first salvo in an American Civil War or any sort of repeat of the 1970s. And
this is the Years of Lead thing.
Yes, an American version of the Years of Lead, all the Days of Rage, which.
So
was...
what differentiates that from like a Civil War?
In the Civil War, really, you have defined sides. You have a pretty good idea of which side you're on. The American Civil War, you could tell if you lived in Georgia, you were theoretically on the side of the Confederacy, and if you lived in Pennsylvania, you were on the side of the Union, more or less. And you knew where the armies were and so on. And in the years of lead, essentially, which was originally intended to refer to Italy during the 1970s, when the state really did cease to be able to act as arbitrator. Yeah. And you had a whole bunch of different factions stepping into the gap. You had some communist and anarchist terrorist groups funded by the Soviet Union on one side. And then you had a combination of neo-Nazis and Freemasons who were funded by Propaganda Due. There was a Masonic, there was a specific Masonic lodge in Italy, which I think Berlusconi belonged to actually when he was a young man,
wow.
which was more or less set up as a coordinating body to form a guerrilla insurgency against possible Soviet occupation of Italy by the CIA.
Mm.
It's interesting actually how different European Freemasonry is from British Freemasonry. British Freemasonry is basically an opportunity for middle-aged men to do silly things and sort of escape from their wives for four evenings a year. And in Europe, you have this insane sort of deep state that's been in existence for 200 years and hates Catholics and hates communists.
Right,
and,
like infiltrating the Vatican and stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And
like Vatican too.
Mm. They're all over America as well. They're like built America.
They are.
They're in Cuba also... as well. Loads in Cuba.
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah. Kept driving past Masonic lodges.
Yeah.
I could imagine Castro being a Freemason. Cuba does seem to be very much early 20th century Spain ossified in some ways. And I could see him as one of those village radicals who would set up their own
Freemasons. You don't think of Freemasons being like violent. Like organised violence.
Again, this is a England thing versus a Europe thing.
Right.
Freemasons are mental in Europe, and they're fairly boring here, as far as I know.
Have you been at any of the? I've been to the Dublin Lodge. Have you been to the lodges?
No. Why?
Because I loved it. Because I was like, Freemasons are so cool. So I went into their lodge.
You would hate Freemasons.
Full disclosure: one point, I was a Freemason. I did the 3 degrees and so on.
Wait, you're a Freemason?
Yes, I was just curious, really. And
what? How many levels? Because that was the thing that there's like the zero level, which is just like a bunch of symbols.
I can't believe
there's another
Freemasons infiltrating our group chat.
If it makes you feel any better, I moved and then I realised I would have to do a 4-hour commute to the lodge, and everyone was 40 years older than me, and this was not the sort of...
Is it like in The Simpsons, where they do the dance?
It's very, very similar to Stonecutters in The Simpsons. I would say the Stonecutters is the most accurate portrayal for the Freemasons I've ever seen in any media anywhere.
Why did you join?
I was curious. I wanted to join something esoteric, so
I decided... You join every drinking club.
Basically, yes. Basically, yes. I actually emailed them when I was blackout drunk and completely forgot about it. And I got an email back a couple of days later saying, pop round to the lodge for a chat, and I did.
What? Wait, you can just cold email them? I thought you had to be introduced.
You can just cold it. They're desperate for people
who
are under 17.
Yeah, they didn't have anyone there. That was the thing that they told us. They were like, the granddad will join, they'll be a part of it. Dad will think it's really cringe because the granddad's always coming in with his robes on, like stupid hats and shit. And the dad's like, fuck this.
Like Aleister Crowley.
I still have the robes in my... I still have the apron in my closet somewhere, and my wife occasionally finds it and asks if she wants me to throw it out. I want to hold on to it just in case.
Yeah. But, with the magic, have you got the wand?
Maybe that would help you with your planning
it?
Permission issues.
I was thinking that for a while, but everyone in the council's a woman, and women can't be Freemasons because that would be just weird.
Yeah, Freemasons don't control the council.
No, you can't. I mainly joined it so I could do things like corrupt councillors and so on and so forth. And it turns out you can't actually do that.
Well,
that's quite expensive, and I just stopped paying my dues, and they started chase me for 2 years and then cut me off. So I may well be under sentence of death by some sort of Masonic council for all I know, but they've given up reclaiming their money.
They're kind of weird because, like, I think the impression I got of it was like it was an attempt to create like a nepotistic sort of clan that can, you know, infiltrate society. But because by nature they're not, like genetically linked as some
they
people
are.
They are
in Wales, are still, it's very like rural gentry.
Mm. Right.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Wales doesn't really have like a modern like class system, it's still kind of like semi feudal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all the big landowners are masons. And like when my mum's like business folded, they told her they could keep it open if she put a mason on the board.
No way.
And she was like, no. So she's still really like furious about it. It's like a feminist thing, you know.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
We should make a Masons for Women.
Now I have some very good news for you. There is actually a Masons for Women. I can't for the life of me remember its name. It might be an American thing.
There are all sorts
of fun spin-off Mason things in America. There's one called the Shriners.
Can you imagine just being in a room with a bunch of women?
That sounds amazing.
Ritual.
I was
that sounds absolutely amazing.
It'd
be quite fun being the only man there, rather like, I suppose Charles Manson did have other men looking around him, but you're supposed to be quite fun to be a cult leader, I've always thought. It'd be a fairly good one.
Yeah, if the women are like nice, like if I'm too mouthy, which I feel like the type of women who would want to join a Freemason lodge.
Would be rather...
They're just like HR errands.
I think I'd spend all my time sort of patching over disputes and they fell out with each other inevitably and then they'd all gang up on me or something.
It'd be like the ladies' pond. It's like run by like a coalition of German lesbians and they just keep having fights about whether to like allow the fox in because the fox is a man.
Adelbert. Such a good name.
Did they actually have that?
Yeah, I read a Spectator article that was like, there's been like trouble at the ladies' pond because the new lesbians are fighting with like the old women who feed the fox.
It is an immense and continual regret to me that I'll never be allowed into the Hampstead ladies' pond.
Oh,
I
want
to go to the men's one though. Yeah, they have a diving board.
Well, quite right, sir. We get up to things like diving, athletic swimming and so on and so forth while you're fighting over male foxes.
Yeah, I was like swimming around in a little circle and everyone was like doing their little lady swim.
Lady swim.
And then they were literally like, oh, I heard there's a diving board in the men's pond and oh, that seems a bit much. That seems a bit much.
Yeah, they have gold-plated sauna in the men's pond.
It's a happy place.
Whatever, everyone's gay in the men's pond.
Are they?
Yeah, it's like a cruising ground. That's the whole point.
No fucking way, really.
Yeah, that's why
is that true?
People go to the men's pond. <That's not laughs> why true. Do you assume that Callum would know rather than Bovril?
Well, that's the more likely to be.
Thank you. That's a real compliment and an unconscious one. I'm taking it absolutely in
we've got a
the spirit in which was intended.
Right
you're
Thank
very
you.
Straight-coded. You're very straight-coded.
Thank you. I'll tell my wife that. She'll be very reassured.
She'll be happy.
I feel like you got slightly like bi-curious vibes.
I'm very sceptical. I don't pick that up for myself at all.
I don't care.
No.
Are you going to be here the whole time?
I'm monitoring because at one point Bovril was speaking a bit quietly. So
sorry about that.
Make sure that you get a good sound quality.
We do need him here.
I can
actually leave if you want. I'm just doing it for the audio quality. If you want.
As I get drunk, I forget to talk into
just,
the mic.
Just drink more White Claw.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget about Callum being there. I'd be right behind me.
He's directly behind Danny.
Drink to forget your trouble. I've been converted to white seltzer. White seltzer has been the drink of my
it's
late
good,
summer.
It's like
fantastic.
Low cal-
oh, great. Oh, we got another one.
Hard seltzer, hello.
Hi, boys. I'm
like a sitcom.
Hello.
He's behind you.
It's literally like a sitcom. So they made us dinner. It was like actually...
It was surprising. It was excellent.
It was a full
really
meal.
Excellent.
We had carrot salad and roast beef.
Potted shrimp. So good. I was very, very impressed and completely blindsided by the whole thing.
And now we've got lemon posset, so it's like... posset?
Yep.
So it's all gelatin.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. So they're waiting for us to finish
it's
recording
like
so they can have dessert.
That's true,
so
yeah.
Why
we're frowning.
Every 10 minutes, they're going to be like, oh, dessert? So
yeah. Dessert. We can actually afford to get a third mic now because someone sent me £1,000
That's
yesterday.
True. That's true.
That's so.
I think I'm going to go to Turkey and get the turf
veneers
for cheaper.
Veneers, hairline, anything really.
I don't have any problem with my hairline.
Absolutely, absolutely not. Over. Absolutely not.
Dirt.
We can go together if you want. And
I just plan to get through the encroaching Norwood Reaper with a combination of bluff and being about a foot taller than any woman who would confront me over.
That's
it.
So, true. Yeah. As long as she can't see up there.
It's surprising how long you can carry. You can pull this off for. Just by sheer force of will and refusal to admit the inevitable.
Yeah. See, I didn't even notice Tom had a Norwood too.
We're just looking over to Tom, by the way, who's in the room.
You might notice the sort of distinguished air around me. I know the mic's picking it up, but if you feel a sort of intangible respect for me, it's because of the sophisticated Norwood 2 that I'm sporting.
It's so true. The Norwood 2 is a great look.
Much of life does consist in suffering shipwreck with dignity. Sorry. Tom, you're absolutely right.
Okay, Danny's having a breakdown. We're going to talk about Vril. So,
let's talk about Vril.
Bob Vril, let's talk about Vril. Your full name is Bovril Gesellschaft. So when I first came across your account, I assumed this was a play on the Gesellschaft-Gemeinschaft distinction, which is discussed frequently in right-wing circles. With a sort of preference for
Gemeinschaft.
So I was like, what's he doing with Gesellschaft? That's interesting. And then I realized that it's actually a pun on Vril Gesellschaft, which is the Vril Society.
You are literally the only person who's ever come at my name from the Gesellschaft-Gemeinschaft distinction. Everyone assumes it's really like Bovril. And I've actually never had it in my life. Something about mass-produced beef tea just puts me off, really. The name means absolutely nothing. I was strong-armed into changing my previous name, which I quite liked, which was Father Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah,
which I thought was very clever, because somebody else in a group chat didn't like it and insisted that I change my name as
You are always Bovril, though. I think that you couldn't be Ted.
No, I wouldn't Father be a I wouldn't be a plausible Ted. No. I'm quite happy with Bovril. My wife absolutely hates being referred to as Mrs. Bovril. I'm going to carry on doing it just because she's instantaneously recognisable, which is why I come up with something set. Sexier, but needs must.
So
needs
what
must.
Does she think of your Bovrilian output?
She's been enjoying it. Very, very long-suffering woman. Crying in the guest room has dropped from 4 hours a day to about 1.5 hours a day. Since I started transferring her over the monetization money.
She stops tearing down the wallpaper.
Absolutely. She mainly just stares into space.
She's going to put
her in shackles. Back and forwards. And I have noticed internal bleeding after drinking the coffee she makes me, but I think that is par for the course and probably I need to play around with the coffee machine a bit.
She's probably just putting you on like a good mushroom regimen, so I think she's really looking after you.
That would be amazing. Mm. I could really do with a decent mushroom regimen.
We all could. Hey, we all could.
I bought some mushroom tincture from a man at the farmer's market the other day. It's like lion's mane, and he said that it's not bioavailable if you drink it in those like coffee pouches or the supplements. You need to have it in a tincture, and I felt very like Lindy. I felt like, you know, a little medieval a little medieval woman going to the market to buy some magic mushrooms.
Powder of mushroom. my office provides us with mushroom powder tincture.
Yeah, well, he said that is a placebo.
It's completely useless. I have spent several days, slow days at work, sitting at my desk, just sort of mixing, taking more and more magic mushroom powders, hoping that the seventh one is going to be the one which pushes me over the edge. And I can finally see the face of God and contemplate the universe. It doesn't even make me work better. It's just mushroomy and unpleasant.
So Vril is a sort of energy in the body, which is seminal?
I don't think Bulwer-Lytton, Edward Bulwer-Lytton, who was a Victorian novelist who actually came up with the name, ever thought about semen in his life.
But when people talk about semen retention, they say it's for the Vril.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's like Vril maxing.
See, I didn't know anything about Vril till you two.
In all honesty, I know very little about Vril. It's one of the many topics, I would say virtually every topic I get through I have spent a lifetime being able to bluff through things by skimming Wikipedia articles and hoping for the best and sounding authoritative. And Vril, maybe not quite like some other things are.
Oh,
but,
that's really disappointing. I thought you would be my vril
but,
guy.
I would love to be the vril guy. People come to the vril. As far as I can tell from the reading I have done, which actually is more substantial than Wikipedia in all seriousness, vril was a substance posited by the Victorian author Edward Bulwer-Lytton as the magical energy of a race of people who lived beneath the earth in caves under Antarctica.
Wow!
In the hollow earth. A brief shout out to the Anglo-Futurists.
That's why we want it.
Absolutely, I think.
That's why they were here.
I do find it quite funny that if I Google British Antarctic Territory and like look on the news section, at least 4 of the articles are written by by Tomo.
I mean, no one else is doing anything with it. He might as well have a go.
The only man in the world who cares about...
And it was a very popular book. It really has no literary merit at all, but it was pulp fiction, sold very well.
And it's what Bovril is named after.
Absolutely. The person who invented beef tea... The person who invented mass-produced beef tea decided to stick together bovine and vril to...
So he knew?
Oh, he absolutely knew. Yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely knew. He knew exactly what he was doing. And
it's like a shitposter.
Can I ask, so the vril, is this a sexual energy underneath Antarctica, or is this just a life energy?
It's a life energy, but everyone takes it to be a sexual energy because it's funnier and
it's used to power the UFOs, the Nazi UFOs.
It certainly is used to power Die Glucke. It vril sort of falls into abeyance as an idea until someone called a science fiction writer called Willy Ley. In the late 1940s, writes an article in a pulp science fiction magazine about Nazi UFO experiments and how they built some sort of bell-shaped object called Die Glucke or Die Bell. And
it's
how
what, sorry?
It was called the Bell in German. It was a bell-shaped object, and it could either fly or it was incredibly unclear what it actually did.
Because the Nazis put a lot of money towards the end of the war into these like super weapon programs, right?
They did, but they generally had some idea of what they were actually going to be doing. They were variants of things which already exist. They were enormous bombers capable of hitting America or rockets or something. Something which was powered by human seminal energy and could go back in time, just wouldn't have got any funding whatsoever because they weren't insane. But,
I mean, they were on like a lot of meth at that point.
So have I been quite a lot of my life, and I've never tried to build a bell which goes back in time and is powered by human seminal energy.
I mean, I did get quite into Nick Land when I was taking my Elvans every day. And the Lemurian Time War essay, piece of fiction, which features William Burroughs, who I also wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, please do.
Because, I'm interested in that whole like chaos magic thing, because he was like a precursor.
He very much was. It's what did he call his practice of cutting up other works and sticking them together randomly? I can't for the life of me.
I think it was just called
cut
up method.
That's it, yes, the cut up method. You're absolutely right.
And there was another thing as well, I can't remember what it was called, but he would like record noises and then play them back, playback method.
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't great at coming up with names, but...
There's the organ...
Wilhelm Reich, yes.
Yeah, organ accumulator. That's a cool name.
It is.
Are these all book names?
No, this is a machine that accumulates a
organ. Organ. Oh, the substance called organ. Okay.
Very interesting man, Wilhelm Reich. He was, I think he's the only American to have had his books publicly burnt.
Really?
He was not popular with other psychiatrists. Damn. And he was subject to multiple obscenity trials. Organ energy is far more seminal than vril, by quite a long way. But this was the 1950s.
So this is like MK Ultra era.
It's a shade earlier than MK Ultra. So MK Ultra really comes towards the 60s. I'm actually not certain if he was really attached to. I think he was essentially disgraced by the time MK Ultra got off the ground. But he absolutely pioneered the Orgone Accumulator, which is a box you could essentially sit in to recharge your Aurora sexual energies.
Do you think this is legit?
You know, I'm sceptical. I do like the apocryphal story about the physician who built one and was about the physician who built one for his wife and was later interviewed by someone about it and said, of course this doesn't actually work, but my wife believes that she sits in there for 4 hours quietly, I can do other things and get on with my life.
Comes out like really horny.
It might work.
I feel like just sitting somewhere quietly would do that though.
Yeah, it's good to know that they like weren't horny enough even in the 50s, because I feel like we're not horny now.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's good to know that problem was apparently...
It's like a perennial problem.
Yeah, even pre-porn, pre-whatever we're all doing, they were still not horny enough. Is it monogamy? Do you think it's like being married?
I think it's nice. Thank you. I've no idea what the flavours are. I just point to flavours in the corner shop until the monoglot Bengali man finds something which is 18 milligrams.
Yeah, you have to keep pointing. Like, yeah.
Hoping for the best.
Exhausting.
You are absolutely right about the perennial horniness problem.
Because I thought people were horny and now we're not, but apparently.
Well, I gathered some data for this.
with your seminal energy powered bell shaped time machine.
The organizer.
The accumulator.
Otherwise known as Twitter.
Absolutely. Shit. Every time I say absolutely, this is a tick-free zone. Every time I say absolutely, which is my verbal tick, I get sprayed with a small water mister.
This is for the Anglophytrus plants.
If you listen carefully to the occasional puff after absolutely, it's me being misted slightly.
we're behavioral conditioning all our guests.
Should I have it for when I drink? So you gathered data on horniness
on my husband application form.
How did that go?
I didn't read the responses, but
that was half an hour completely wasted on my part. Unbelievable.
Oh no, I saw yours.
There must have been a few called Bovril.
I think there were two, yeah. But I included a question on desired sex frequency, as I've found this an issue previously.
It is an issue.
Sorry, I'm choking.
Yeah, and it's surprisingly low, in fact. There's a majority who do not want daily...
I think they were just playing hard to get.
That's so weird. I've never had... Yeah, I thought men were literally...
No, that's what they tell you, yeah.
I get headaches.
I don't know.
You get headaches.
I'm just so tired.
Just take some paracetamol. What's wrong with you?
I get headaches if I don't.
Okay. That's
my... Normal person.
Maybe there's like an overlap of men who go on the internet too much and men who...
This is true, it might be my warped sample size.
Yeah, because I feel like the average man is just gagging for it. I don't know.
I have spent so little time discussing other men's sex lives with men.
Sorry, this is most
do
of what we do.
Do not discuss this with each other?
No, I think we take it for granted that there's a certain baseline level of sexual desire we have, and we never discuss it again. So many things men don't discuss. It's great. Women should try it sometime.
Yeah, we talk too much.
We talk about everything. What else were we going to talk about? Burroughs. So, I was kind of interested in him because he's like, it's really focused on writing, and he says that magic is anything that is basically intended to. Like, achieve a desired effect.
That's not a bad definition. It's very similar to Aleister Crowley's definition of magic as changing the universe in accordance with the will.
Yeah.
Which really is the functional definition which every single other branch of 20th century magic, 21st century magic has taken. Sorry, I'm...
I mean, I think it's interesting that he talks about like all art and writing as like basically magical, because it all has that intention.
All art and writing, everything you do where you're layering on effect, effect after effect that creates an overarching whole is technically magic under this definition.
Okay, so how would you go about achieving a desired effect? Because I guess that's the second order. It's like, how do you manipulate that? I guess that's where all the ritual stuff comes in, right?
Ritual magic. Right. No, sorry, I'm being scripted.
Stop saying it. Stop
I was. I cut myself off halfway through. I think that ought to be.
Fine.
I think I ought to be awarded something for that. There are multiple schools of thought about this, and the most enduring one, the one which really has taken over essentially everything else since the mid-20th century, is the idea of chaos magic, which strips away everything which treats everything as essentially window dressing designed to create a particular outcome, again in accordance with your will. And it's simply a matter of focusing your will on something entirely. The real pioneer of this is a draftsman and surrealist artist called Austin Osman Spare.
Right.
Very interesting man. I think he lived in the South Coast in the 1920s and 30s. His artwork still occasionally shows up and is surprisingly affordable if you're willing to drop a couple of grand on a sketch. But
we should get some for the Agrofuturist space station.
Sigils everywhere, absolutely.
Because when we met up a few weeks ago, you said you've done magic before, but never for your own reasons. Because I assume magic is for your own will, like rather than prayer, rather than.
I have a superstitious fear of it, and I don't like the idea of the stakes being so high that I'd be disappointed if it didn't work.
Okay, so you do it for other people.
If you see what I mean.
You do it for other people so that you don't get, disappointed if it doesn't happen to you. Is that why? Or is there a power in it?
Yeah.
Yes, there's the threefold rule in Wicca.
Burroughs did a curse in his room, and then his flat burnt down, and he was like, "Oh, I guess it bounced back too much."
Why was he cursing his room? You're going to have to expand on this slightly.
I don't know.
Did a curse in his room.
It was like a worm curse. To make a worm come out of your eye.
What?
Yeah. He had a Welsh nanny when he was a kid, and she might have like molested him.
I think we're going to. I think we're going to veer away from chaos magic for a second, and discuss worms and Welsh meat station.
But she also taught him a bunch of curses. Like Welsh curses.
That's just all around worms.
That he then relied on.
Let's say I have a worm, and for the purposes of argument, I have a worm in my eye, and I need to extract said worm from my eye, and I'm in Wales. How would I go about doing this?
No, I think it's to make a worm go in your enemy's eye.
Okay, that's perfectly reasonable.
You could just do that. Couldn't you just do that?
So let's say I have a non-optimal number of my I have many enemies. Let's say one of them is a non-optimal number of worms in their eye. How do I ensure that their eye is fully wormed?
You have to nail something to a post and say some words.
So
there are some dry lemon slices involved.
Okay, dry lemon slices post. Possible worms, Welsh. No one say the Foyd cast isn't thoroughly educational.
I'm learning so much about worms.
I'm learning about human nature, to be honest, and the Welsh. It has been immensely educational. I think the real one of the greatest achievements of the Foyd cast is that Welsh is bizarrely, after decades of not being so in the slightest, becoming right coded somehow.
Yeah.
We're going to come
after...
We're
going to name Indiana.
We're going to come after the rest of history. And the rest... which is the one with Alistair Campbell. I can't believe Alistair Campbell is in public sphere and not in a
gulag. I was getting him mixed up with Peter Mandelson.
They're all the same person, essentially.
They're disgusting.
Because
really.
Mandelson was in the Epstein thing recently.
It's astonishing level of sleaziness to somehow manage to get caught up in a sex scandal involving people of a sex you're not actually attracted to in the slightest, dragged down by it. It's
Wait, what's this?
Mandelson is notoriously homosexual.
Is he?
How can you not know?
I actually don't know who that guy is. I thought he was dead or something.
Unfortunately, even Peter Mandelson continues to draw breath. Which I'm mocking about my old history teacher, actually. It's the glasses.
But he wrote an email to Epstein after his 2008
arrest.
Conviction.
Oh, he does look gay. He looks gay as hell.
Yeah. I didn't think he was gay. I thought...
No, he's got gay face.
But that's just posh men. They just don't look like that.
That's so true. That's so true.
It's like posh or gay. It's a classic dilemma.
Yes. It's a hard one.
Answer's yes.
Because they all got molested in boarding school.
Real.
Thank you.
Real.
Absolute roots chakras destroyed.
Okay. We're talking about a magic worm. What were we talking about?
We were discussing chaos magic.
Magic worm. Then, no, you said there was a threefold rule. What's the threefold rule?
That's something more associated with Wicca. And in all honesty, I think that Rose would be better placed to answer that.
I'm not a Wiccan.
What's the rules though?
It's whatever you do comes back to you three times stronger, threefold.
So you have to be really nice to everyone all the time.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
That's why you shouldn't do curses. Did you see there was a curse on Charlie Kirk?
Yeah,
Jezebel wrote about it.
Yeah. Like 2 days ago.
Yeah, and the witch was like, something's going to happen to him in 2 to 3 weeks, and it was like 2 to 3 weeks ago.
These things with involving witch talk always tend to end incredibly badly for the witch, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
There was that viral thing going around the internet from some witch talk about not trying to fight Trump and the astral plane in 2024.
Yeah, because he's like really protective.
Very protective.
It's so true, though.
It's true. He literally got shot and he didn't get shot.
Exactly. He's like providentially blessed. He's like being looked after.
Yeah. He is the main character. There are just some people who are the main character. True. I would say there are plenty of people in this room who are essentially the main character, and you just need to accept that and get out of their way.
I'm just going to say everyone here is the main character.
Thank you. Anyone here is not the main character.
Everyone's special.
In our own special way, we are.
I think that is partly why I get into so much trouble, because I have so much vril.
I'm vibrating at a high level. You are vibrating at a very high level.
So when I put like bad energy out into the world, it comes back to me like way stronger.
Ooh, so true.
Yeah. So I have to live like perfectly, like straight.
Yeah. Well, you guys both kind of scared me when I got into a chat.
Because
you're
about
both
that.
Like, you're talking about like dark magic, and both of you have this real that you can.
Oh yeah,
just
I was like having like a manic episode. Barbara was like enabling it.
I think
it.
I might have been having a manic episode. I was having a manic episode
caused by you two.
It wasn't good. Yes, the summer of Barbara, I occasionally suspect, might have been the result entirely of overlapping hypomanic episodes, but on the roses and my parts.
It was a heat wave.
Yeah, it was the heat wave. I think there is generally 2 weeks in England where it would just be completely inconceivable living anywhere other than England. And London especially, and North London, if we had to really narrow it down. And Scott extends about 2 months because of the dry, hot, high pressure weather.
Mm. Yeah, and there's no way to cool down because there's no aircon.
Other than the ladies' pond.
Exactly. Which is so I was going to the ladies' pond, and then I was going to like the Russian Banya to get like plunge pooled and like buckets of cold water dunked on my head
by this like
large Russian man with a silly hat. And that calmed me down. I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah. You need a large Russian man in your life to beat you periodically.
Yeah,
I've been saying this. I mean,
there's a special dating site for them.
Sometimes an Anglo man can be Russian.
Under Anglo-futurism, you'll be assigned a large man to
Russian
beat you with sticks. Like Beating of the Bounds, version 2.
Beating of the Broad. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that the English, as a whole, do go slightly feral in heat waves. Especially women. I absolutely love it. I think I really ought to be living somewhere much warmer most of the time. I'm essentially a creature of the Mediterranean.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite swarthy.
I'm incredibly swarthy. I've shot past plausible dark Britain.
You've got some Italian.
I have quite a lot of Italian in me. Yeah. Quite a lot. a good deal more than I have English, actually. Reasonable society,
Britain.
Swarthed Britain. Swarthed.com.
No, I maintain that Italians are white.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
No.
That's very sporting of you.
Because I did sleep with a Sicilian once. That's disgusting.
No, it wasn't.
No, it's not. I'm Wait, are you Sicilian?
Only in part. Only in part.
Have you been? Are you in a mafia?
I'm not in the mafia, oddly enough. I did visit Sicily for 2 weeks to try and to try and pick up some Italian when I was 17. Uh-huh. I came back not speaking a word to it. It was the only time in my life women have actually been throwing themselves at me, mainly because
you looked crazy at 18.
I was a very attractive 18-year-old.
Was he a foot taller than any of them?
I was going to say that was probably it. But I was too scared to touch any of the local women because I thought that I thought the mafia was still a thing. I thought I might be forced into some sort of shotgun wedding or
yeah.
Are they not a thing there at all? They're in America.
I think it still dominates in Sicily. Mm. I think absolutely does. But I don't think it would. With hindsight, I don't think it would have happened to me as a teenager.
The men there are very beautiful, though. Like, they look like Al Pacino. They have such good bone structure and, like, thick hair. Mm. But they're all, like, 5'7".
I had good bone structure and thick hair at one point.
But you were huge and they were tiny. Because they're tiny. I can't get over the tininess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm small, so...
Yeah, because you're... yeah. You can do it.
I'm always looking up at them.
So it's looking up.
Yeah. I think I only went because I saw The Godfather and I was like, wow.
I've been watching The Sopranos for the first time.
You just went to America.
I did go to America.
Did you get to Jersey?
I didn't get to Jersey. Thank you for asking, because no one did, because I was so sad about not going to Jersey.
Yeah. We would be so good in Atlantic City.
We would be so good with your magic and me being stupid.
We would clean up.
I've been there. It's depressing. It's depressing.
I've been walking around, and you're like, "Guys, hit me!"
Like the Always Sunny episode with the ham.
Oh God, yes, yes. The Jersey Shore. Heroin needles lying under the dog. What happened to Guidos? They were amazing back in the 2000s.
Is that how you say it?
I think it is.
It's like the
Jersey Shore people, Italians,
with spiky hair, fake tans.
JWoww and Snooki. Nicola Situation Sorrentino.
Yeah,
that was such a good show. None of the British spin-offs were really any good whatsoever.
Did they try to do a spin-off? Oh, Essex Shore.
They did Geordie Shore.
Does Essex have a
Essex Shore?
Yes, of course Essex is a shore. It has quite as extensive I don't know. It's one of the estuary counties.
I don't recognise the south of England.
What's wrong with the south of England?
I love the south of England.
It's like spiritually dead.
Mm-mm.
You'd like the Weald. You would love Sussex if you haven't been there.
Where's Sussex? Brighton?
It's the whole sort of segment of England cut off from everywhere else in England by the South Downs, and it really became its own little world over time, simply because it's so hard to get into. It's so hard to get to the rest of England, to be honest. Until the 19th century, it was a lot quicker to get from anywhere in Sussex to Paris than it was to London.
It's like what I told you about the sea.
I've been telling everyone about the sea thing. It's amazing.
It's cool, right?
The sea is closer than the land.
Yeah. I explained to Danny that if you want to understand pre-modern travel and like networks and like trade, you have to look at the map as if the sea is the land and the land is the sea.
Absolutely correct. So I think it costs as much trains to transport something 40 miles by sea and to transport it 1 mile by land.
It's
the sea does all the lifting for you, essentially.
Yeah, very so cool. Kent is like super Frankish.
Kent is completely Frankish to the point where it may well have ended up part of the Charlemagne's Holy Roman Empire for 30 years. We have no idea.
I think like in like around Exeter, there are still some churches that were like part of a diocese in France.
Amazing.
Until fairly recently.
I suppose South England probably does have less of an English regional identity than North England or Wales, simply because everywhere else was so much closer than North England was.
Yeah. So what did you think of New England?
It was like nothing. It wasn't like nothing like Old England at all. It was like a whole other continent.
I thought it was similar because of the name.
That's what I thought.
And because of that tweet I did once where I was like, it looks like England, and then everyone got really mad at me.
Was I part of that?
No,
I didn't know, because I was like, oh, I'm going to England. And then it's like, no, everything's like huge. And then the houses all have like wood paneling, and they have porches.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And like Halloween stuff.
They have Halloween stuff.
They take it very seriously in
they take
Halloween.
It. And then they have a sign. They sign up front.
Like a meme sign. Like the meme sign is like, in this house we
they had the signs, they had tons, because I was in like a very picturesque Democrat city, and everyone was like a boomer and was a Democrat, and they were like protesting, but it was kind of cute
protesting.
The main one that was shocking to me was like the no kings in America, which I just like never, I guess they still are like hung up on that.
Yeah.
It's been like so many years.
It's been three centuries.
It's been three fucking
like,
centuries.
That was,
like,
that
get
was
over
like an
it.
Anti-Trump years, yeah. protest, I think.
Fairly, oh, because he's like a king.
Fairly recently, yeah, they were protesting his like overreach of executive
power.
I assumed it was anti-Yarvin.
I don't think he has that kind of popularity.
He should do.
Some 6-year-old people. But it's so cucked. They're like stood out like on this road, and they're like doing their signs. Some of them were like pro Gaza, like pro Palestine signs. So I was like, cool, we'll allow it. But the other ones were terrible. And then,
did you see a lot of Jews in New York?
So thank you for asking.
I think we were all thinking that, but we wanted to the topics come organically.
Wait.
Great question, Rose.
First thing she did, she gets to New York.
Awful lot of Jews around
here. The first thing. To be fair, our hotel was really close to it. But guess what? The first thing.
Kansas Diamond District.
Oh, I did do that. That was fucking sick. That's not even going. That was Diamond District was so.
Okay,
amazing.
But what did you do first?
The first thing I did was we went to the 9/11 memorial, and they had like all the names on there, and I was just checking about the ethnicities of it. I just had to check something real quick.
And what did you find?
Well, actually, loads of Italian.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
Okay.
Lots of Irish.
Yep.
There's no one here. lots of Irish. Quite a few Muslim names. But actually, there were some Jewish names on there. So, point taken.
I think there is an underrepresentation, but partly that is just the...
yeah, but Danny's claim was that they had all taken the day off.
That's not true. That's a joke.
In all seriousness, there is genuine underrepresentation, but that's partly because there's overrepresentation of Irish and Italian simply because those were the people who were working in the sort of firm which was in the Twin Towers.
What? Who's that?
I think they're mostly white shoe law and finance, and really, Jewish Americans went another way, and they ended up being absolutely dominated by Irish and Italians in New York.
Really? What, in finance?
In that specific sector of finance.
Interesting. It was a good memorial.
It was very tasteful.
It's very mean. It was like a void, because I went to the Jewish Museum in Berlin many years ago. Way before anything, bro. And they had
radicalizing moments.
Counting the shoes.
Well, they had this room. There actually were shoes in this room. So that's how stupid Jesus.
They're like really regretting us. Regretting letting us.
It's just been silence from all the men.
Stony silence from the Anglo futurists.
Suspiciously Ashkenazi silence from everyone. No. I'm Ashkenazi if anything, so I think I'm the most Jewish in the room.
Probably, yeah.
I think maybe above all.
Oh, yeah, how Jewish?
I really have no idea. I probably am, considering where in Europe I come from. But
you've got to
never really. I probably ought to do one of those ancestry tests.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I just don't like the idea of giving my DNA over to somebody else.
Yeah. Callum could be Jewish.
Callum could be Jewish.
No, he's obviously Norman.
Same thing.
He Huguenot. Look at his profile. He's Huguenot,
profile.
Right?
Turn your head.
Oh, yeah, very.
Sure, yeah.
Very Roman.
Very weak.
Very
chin.
Roman.
Splendid.
You need to be mewing and chewing like the mastic gum. Mm.
The Diamond District is absolutely fantastic. There's so much I could recommend. Did you get to, because completely off the wall question, you probably didn't, did you get to Jonas Schimmel's Knish bakery by any chance?
No.
Because that's amazing, absolutely superb. It's just a place where everyone who buys and sells diamonds ends up getting savoury pastries.
Oh, shit, we walked down the Diamond District and then we walked all the way back up because it was exactly how, because it was just all a bunch of men just doing their thing, yelling and like walking around, and there are a bunch of like gangster rappers as well. It was have you seen Uncut Gems?
Yeah,
it was like that. Yeah. It was legit like that.
Weirdly, I ended up like the other day on a street in London that was all diamond shops, and I had no idea.
Is that Edgware Road?
Hatton Gardens or something?
Oh yes, Hatton Gardens is a big diamond place. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just walking back from my like emergency dentist appointment, and then suddenly it was like all diamonds, and there were all these Middle Eastern guys on the street being like, like, madam, are you buying, selling?
You should have got tooth grills, diamond tooth grills.
Yeah.
Oh my god, would look so good.
It would, yes. Takashi 69 diamond grills.
Like a full diamond in its place.
Full face tattoos, diamond grills.
Who's funding this?
I would fund that, are you kidding me?
If I had the resources, I would pay for your full face tattoo with diamond grills.
Thank you.
But we went to the Second Avenue deli. Which is the Jewish deli, but it's not Katz deli because it's less touristy.
Oh yeah, so this is much better.
Yeah.
Katz deli, you're going to be charged $50 to get
exactly.
Not for your pastrami served by angry Guatemalans.
Exactly. But this one, they were more Jewish and they were very unhappy to see us. Tom's laugh. No, some of them were happy to see us, but the main guy running it was like really unfriendly with us, and then was very friendly whenever any Jewish people came in. Because this one lady came in and she was like, "Is everything kosher?" And he was like, "Yeah, but we are open on Saturdays." And she was like, "It's fine as long as everything's kosher." And I was like, "Obviously everything's fucking kosher. The font on the front of the sign is like the Hebrew font. What the fuck are you on about?"
Hebrew font.
We're gonna have to cut like all of this. And Callum's gonna like be the only person who's heard this whole thing. But I loved it. We went to Williamsburg, the Hasidic community.
Oh yeah, that's completely insane.
It was crazy. They were like, it was the most hostile community I'd been to, maybe ever. Maybe more than Whitechapel.
Yeah, everyone who's lived in New York tells me this, that they got really radicalized by the Hasids.
Yes, I have American Jewish friends from New York, and. University, they say the Hasids are fucking insane and you want to keep away from them.
And they did the whole thing. Like, literally, there was a point when, like, we were just surrounded by a bunch of men. And we realised, because you know the way they use their flip phones is, like, as a radio?
Yeah.
And we were the only... It's for real.
Sorry,
it's
flip
like,
phones.
Huh?
They're flip phones.
Yeah, because they only have flip phones.
Yeah.
For the most part. And then they
I think there's
it.
A technical reason for this. Yeah, something there to do is. With what you can do during the Sabbath and what you can't. And flip phones are okay.
It's probably because they've put like bombs in all the
iPhones. Did they give you a pager by any chance?
That was her. No, it wasn't me.
That's a legit thing they did. In Lebanon.
Page.
In Minecraft.
I don't think Danny's a member of Hezbollah, right?
We do not support Hezbollah.
No,
I have condemned Hezbollah on many times account.
No.
Yeah.
We are not in support of Shiite Muslim terrorism. Absolutely.
Are we in support of Sunni Muslim terrorism?
We do not support the claim of Hussein ibn Ali as caliph.
We don't.
No.
Right.
We've taken a very firm line against that on the Freud's cast.
I shared my first wink with Bovril a couple of months ago.
First of many,
that's so
I hope.
Special.
He didn't wink at me this last time.
No, the Hasidim really do run their own sort of ethnic mafia in their area, basically. It's they've got their own police and their own ambulances. Yeah. There's really nasty...
The tunnels.
Their own tunnels. They got their own.
Yes. What years? There was
they don't use our standard tunnels that we love.
No, they've done two good for our tunnels.
I kind of love that. It's such a universal human instinct to dig a hole.
Absolutely.
Not universal.
It's like men love digging holes. They love digging tunnels. This happens all the time in America that people's houses collapse because this man has just like been digging a tunnel secretly. In the basement, in his spare time.
It's a universal human urge.
And women love to borrow. Like, if I saw a tunnel, I'd like to get in there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they
have raised that to a group activity.
For their own reasons, yes. I knew 2024 was going to be a good year when, in the first week, you had Hasidim sort of shooting up out of tunnels all around Brooklyn.
Yeah, amazing video. I can't believe it's real.
The word Chud, of course, is a contraction of cannibal humanoid underground dwellers from a brilliant film called Chud in the 1980s about people who live under Brooklyn and attack homeless people.
Is this true?
Yeah, no, absolutely is. No. I think it was Chapo Trap House.
Wait, are we doing blood libel now?
No. Not for once, no. No, it's absolutely. I think they came up with Chud. I'm not certain.
That's cool.
But yes, and then we completely embraced him. We're all Chuds here, aren't we? Really,
we're all Chuds. Yeah. I've been saying
I'm a Chudette.
You're a Chudette.
You're both Chudettes. I'm a Chud. We're both very.
I feel like I'm more Chud than actual Chudette.
You're Chud coders. You're Chud coders.
You're like
my gender dysphoria.
Like with an X.
Chud X.
I'm a Chud.
Chucks.
Chud History X.
That's such a fun film.
We should call the episode that.
Call this episode Chud History X. It's great.
No, because it's 9/11. Maybe. It's gonna.
Oh
be...
yeah, 9/11.
Yes, 9/11.
So, Barbara, what are your thoughts on 9/11?
Oh my god.
All I'll say is it's an amazing rabbit hole to go down, and my favorite boss I've ever had. Looked and sounded exactly like Superhand from Peep Show. It was an absolutely classic Generation X type. I discovered very early on that if I was going to have a nasty meeting with him, I could derail him for half an hour by asking him about one of two topics. One of them was about going clubbing in Manchester in the early 90s because he went to the University of Manchester. And the other one was who did 9/11. And his opinion was that it was the CIA to get America into a war so that all of its surplus population could be, who weren't needed for normal industrial purposes, could be sort of shoveled into the war machine. Which I was slightly sceptical about. It was obviously Mossad. But,
thank you, because I told Rose the other day that they did 9/11. I told her the other day that they did 9/11, and she looked at me like I was a fucking piece of shit. Like, and then I was like, 4,000 people didn't show up.
I just want people to know that we don't have a party line on who did 9/11 on Voidcast. We have a difference of opinion.
We agree to disagree. Debate is a beautiful thing, so we're very pleased.
We're very pro free speech here. We're like free speech absolutists.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No topic too taboo, nothing too controversial.
So why do you think, because I tried to explain to her why Mossad did.
Oh, my.
But what is your, because I said about, okay, go on.
In all seriousness, I think the Saudi monarchy, or at least prominent Saudi families, were much more involved.
They were.
The terrorists did pick a day. The terrorists did pick a day when... essentially, every single aircraft which could be used to intercept an American, which could be used to intercept a passenger jet in the Eastern Seaboard, was being used in the military exercise. So they were all in the air and didn't have weapons. And the interesting thing about that is they were doing a joint exercise with a bunch of Saudi pilots at the time, and all of whom knew about it. This isn't necessarily a massive conspiracy. It could simply be.
But Mossad would have that information, right? Because
they would have already had that information. Yeah. In all seriousness, I don't think Mossad were enormously involved. It was, I think, I do think some fairly prominent Saudi families knew exactly what was happening.
Do you think Mossad did the Charlie Kirk shooting?
I think it was probably a... I'm actually not purposely not speculating on it because it could be so many different people.
Yeah.
But I don't think, from what I've seen, it's as clean an operation, as good a shot as people are saying it was. It was a very heavy caliber bullet and not that far away. And someone who had had a few weeks of practice at rifle range could have got it.
Okay.
And there was no security whatsoever. So,
yeah.
Also, he was still pro-Israel. Like, he said some more critical things recently, yes. But he's still pro-Israel. Like,
he was
would
the most
have been
vocal
crazy.
Pro-Israel person, yeah, exactly. On the American right at this point. Why would you shoot your...
Yeah.
The conspiracy theory I do definitely believe in regarding assassinations is that Trump was supposed to die in Buffalo, Pennsylvania, on July the 13th last year. There was huge media coverage of the... And somebody was supposed to get a Pulitzer Prize-winning picture of his head exploding, and they didn't because
also like
exactly
BlackRock, like shorting the stock, the Trump stock beforehand.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he was meant to die. I mean, he literally was meant to die.
Yeah,
like, he just turned his head.
At exactly the right moment.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Sort of veering back into the years of lead talk, discourse we had at the beginning of the year. How after the assassination, a whole bunch of people who really were very strongly anti-Trump, like Michael Bloomberg, just stopped. They stopped. They realised how close they'd come to the abyss and pulled back.
Really?
Mm. I occasionally wonder, out of morbid curiosity, I could go to just pop into a world where Trump hadn't ducked at exactly the right, Trump hadn't dodged at exactly the right moment, just to see what it would look like. I think there would be America would be quite firmly into its own repeat of the Days of Rage, and this does not mean a civil war with clean cut sides. It just means everything is much more violent.
Yeah.
That there's a level of violence accepted. That society still functions, but there's a level of violence accepted in it that leads the sort of antisocial schizophrenic. Or schizoid person who might just wander around screaming at traffic today to start shooting people
yeah.
in a way which happened in the 1970s. And people forget how violent America was in the 1970s, even while it was still sort of functioning as a society. There was a 2-year period in the early 70s where there were 5 serious bomb threats thrown into the FBI per day, which is astonishingly high, considering the population was lower. And... The issue with this sort of thing isn't necessarily that lots of people get shot, and they will get shot. It's very hard to predict who gets shot and who doesn't.
Mm.
That you just have these sort of people wandering around with axes to grind, thinking that they can take it out on someone who may or may not have harmed them.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's sort of what's happening now, right? Mm. Like that girl who got like stabbed in the neck the other day, and like the Luigi thing.
I need to pee.
Okay, should we take a break?
Yeah, sorry, should we pause it for a second?
Thank you, I also. Yeah, we're back. Everyone's hitting their vape.
Yeah.
Quite hard at this point.
I've never seen you vaping, actually.
I am almost entirely a cigarette man, but needs must as the devil drives in the spaceship.
Yeah.
You guys both smoke the same rate. Like, it's just constant. When you're in Kew Gardens.
Well, I don't smoke usually, except like when someone else is smoking, and then I match them.
Mm.
Because I'm, like, really impressionable.
We're just yes-anding ourselves into lung cancer at this point.
Yeah.
Bring up America again.
No, I'm enjoying this.
Keep going.
Please do. I'm glad someone else is introducing topics. It's really good.
But they don't have vapes that are flavoured. They have tobacco flavour, which is disgusting. And they have clear vape. Flavor.
It's the influence of Philip Morris. It's
clear. One of the best flavors I've ever tasted, to be honest.
Just tasted clear.
But didn't they ban the mango Juuls and stuff?
Yes, again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tobacco industry is just is a very big lobbying group in the way it isn't here. I think the Biden administration banned menthol cigarettes, and then Trump brought them back, which sort of made them wads deep for black people. But, That,
do they like it?
Oh, black people love menthols for some reason. I can't quite fathom it. Newport menthols is the black cigarette.
I do like a Newport menthol though, so maybe I'm.
The one thing I really miss.
I've been saying this.
You're spiritually black. We're well traveled.
The black people.
Yeah. They are the black people of England. Yeah.
I think it's just because they're in like. They just have like Lana Del Rey vibes to me. Mm. They remind me of like the OC or something.
Did people smoke menthols in the OC? I don't think it was.
I feel like it's kind of like a trashy, like Julia Fox in Louisiana kind of vibe. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense. I can actually see where you're coming from.
I think if I went to America, I would do heroin.
That seems perfectly reasonable. I've seen that film, The Factory, and what's her name, Evie Sedgwick, was having a great time in it for the first 90% of it. Edie. Evie Sedgwick,
yeah,
she's having a great time on it. It's your wife and it's your life, etc.
It does feel like the end goal of American life is to do heroin.
Yeah,
which is why they have the opiate. Because I was like,
I'm on opiates now.
Stop being on opiates. You like messaged me the other day. You're like,
How do I beep?
I just didn't reply.
Safest not to.
It was just because I was taking the max cocodamol and it wasn't working.
God, I miss cocodamol.
But this is how people get opiate addictions, right? They start because they have pain.
Yeah.
I've only ever been on cocodamol for about 2 weeks when I threw my back out a few years ago, and actually got better very quickly, and just realised I had a whole bunch of cocodamol knocking around, and decided to take about half of it, and just spent the evening watching the Martha Graham choreography of Appalachian Spring. It's the only time in my life I've ever actually got ballet as an art form. It's just staring at the TV, drooling, slightly thinking, my God, I get it now. Yeah. And I ran out and it seemed much less appealing. But,
it's so perfect for that. Like nature documentaries. Like you'll watch a bear eat like a fish and you're like, oh my God, wow. I get it now.
I'm not getting this.
You just suddenly get like life, like
I
as
maybe
it is.
Need to take more.
No,
quintuple your dose, Rose. You'll be happier. If I ever message you anything and whatsoever about contemporary dance, please drive over to my house with Narcan.
Oh God, I went to a contemporary dance thing the other day. It was so bad.
What type?
It was crazy. It was like a takeover of the South Bank of like Royal Festival Hall from Ramba, which used to be. Classical ballet. It was founded by like Madame Ramba, who's the dancer who like recruited my grandma from like Lambeth, which is like a cool story.
But now
it's just like literally just contemporary dance, and they were doing this thing with the Ballet National de Marseille, which is called La Horde, and it was just like so contemporary. It was like aliens twerking with like bubble butts and like bouncing. Their butts like basketballs.
Nice.
And
I'm into this.
And then there was like a grime ballet.
Nice.
But everyone in it was trans.
How contemporary is that?
Like how visibly trans are we talking?
Pretty visibly, I assume, if you could see it from the back. the thing is,
it was like voguing, you know, and then.
And you were close to them.
Yeah, and then another one, there were a lot of gay sex acts happening, like simulated, and they were like
sort of simulated,
like right next to me, like right in front of me, because it was like kind of audience participation
in the gay sex act.
What?
You'll have struggled.
I was there with my sister, and she like looked around at the audience, and she was like, "There's a lot of neurodivergent people."
She's like looking at you directly.
Brilliant. Grand day out. The undateables take
There's a lot of
increasingly...
like sunflower lanyards.
Oh God. Yeah. I want to go so bad now. This is ridiculous. This
it's
the
over
most
now.
Exciting thing I've ever heard
yeah.
of.
Yeah. And then at the end there was like a big limo and they were screening this film with like all these people in like balaclavas. But they were all like white people in like roadman costumes. And then
when we win, 100% of the roadmen will be white. I'm going to leave it at that.
I've been saying
There'll still be chicken shop dates, but all of the drill wrappers and Rosemary, what's her name, Amelia Moldbug.
I do like chicken burger.
I'll take it. I don't like chicken burger. I like fried chicken. Chicken burger's a waste because it has to be beef in the burger.
Mm. No, I don't think so.
This is the discourse we have.
Whenever I would go to the kebab van, I would get chicken burger.
We're just wrong.
That is wrong.
It has to be beef. Yeah, it has to be beef. The roast beef burger of old England, etc.
The roast beef burger.
Beef and liberty.
Salute.
Going back to the dance performance, it's funny how it does get described as contemporary, considering that every single element of that could have been done in 2012.
It felt very like 2015. Like, there was one bit that actually felt more contemporary, like current, but even that, it reminded me of like the bit in Frances Ha, which was like 10 years ago or something, more than
it's been a completely stuck culture.
Yeah,
because the largest material change over the last 10 years is the Boris wave, and that just hasn't percolated at all into art. And
but it sort of did in this, in a way. I mean, I guess it was more French, so it's whatever the version. The version of Roadmen in France is. They have a word for it. Yeah, whatever.
My French is appalling.
If only they were more monogamous.
Yeah.
Breaking a butterfly upon a wheel.
Breaking a what?
Sorry, ignore me.
This is an English idiom that she doesn't know because she's
European. Please.
It's just it's smashing something which is just pretty and ornamental under because it needs to conform.
What's the saying?
Why break a butterfly upon the wheel?
Aww.
It's Alexander Pope, I think.
Sounds like a Kendrick Lamar album title.
Do you have any?
A lot of Alexander Pope sounds like a Kendrick Lamar album title.
That's true, actually.
So what were we talking about before?
I think we were talking about dance. We were talking about dance and Cocodemol and
before
everything we were talking about an English civil we were talking civil about whether there was going to be an English civil
is,
war.
Is we getting war. Civil war?
We as no, we as not getting civil war.
No, you don't think so?
Not anytime soon. But I think we're probably in what would technically, if we were looking at a third party country, be sort of pre civil war conditions, so they can go on for a very long time.
Yeah.
One encouraging thing, if you want that sort of thing, or at least think it probably is going to happen at some point, is the ethnogenesis of the English as a cohesive whole with their own ideas and their own sort of sense of themselves as English.
Yeah.
And one big thing over the summer, probably the biggest thing, is the flagging.
Mm.
Have you guys been doing flagging?
We're going this weekend.
Are you flagging?
Oh, good, man.
Really? That's so wholesome.
That's very sweet.
That's quite sweet. It's just...
Wait, Tom just walks out.
No, he's getting the flag.
Let's have a look at those flags.
Flagging?
Are you doing English flags or like British?
English flags.
Yeah. Not Union Jacks. Well, not the space station.
We haven't yet achieved that level of brand.
Like a rocket ship in the corner. Oh goodness.
That's a packet. Yeah. I was thinking this because you call yourselves Anglo-futurists, but you probably wouldn't have done that like 10 years ago or something. That feels like quite new for like kind of elite educated people to be saying Anglo and identifying stuff as Anglo.
Yeah, I was both Remain back then.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the better option, right?
I voted Leave. I'm still quite glad I did. It simply removed any fig leaf any future government could hide behind when they fucked up.
But we've had worse immigration since.
Yeah, do you just hate Eastern Europeans that much?
Only some of them. Only some glaring of them. No. I think any government faced with...
She's whiter than you.
She's a lot whiter than me. I'm quite so white. That.
I'm so upset.
Any, One of the issues was that Eastern European immigration was essentially tapped out in some ways by 2015. These Eastern Europeans are artificially poor because you were stuck behind the Iron Curtain for 50 years. So we ended up, after the Iron Curtain coming down, having tens of millions of people who were completely capable of doing highly paid jobs, but were also prepared to live in to sleep on a mattress in outer London for 10 years. And the Poles were the classic example of that. And basically, within 10 years after the border opening, Poland was much wealthier, and all the Poles who'd lived here had gone home and used the money to buy a house and set up their own businesses. And
And now you get British people moving to Poland.
Absolutely. please squirt me. I said absolutely.
Okay. He wants the squirt.
I do.
Sorry.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful. We were having an intellectual discussion about the Eastern Bloc, and it's been derailed now. Thank you.
We should wrap up.
By the squirt. No, but you don't think like Eastern Europeans are a little bit like retarded, like just a bit like alcoholic, a bit.
So am I. I can't hold that against somebody.
I mean, that's a vital part of British culture.
To be a bit retarded.
To be retarded and alcoholic.
Well, when we were more retarded and alcoholic.
Those people like built India.
Absolutely. My favourite periods of English history are when everybody recognised us as retarded alcoholics. We somehow managed to terrify everybody else. We've gone through several phases of that, actually. There's a recurring continental stereotype of the English as extremely violent, drunk, uncultured drunkards who nevertheless are extremely good at what they do.
Mad dogs and Englishmen.
They certainly do go out in the midday sun.
But how was it that, because we were out in a hot European country, and then my Anglo husband was like, no one goes out other than the mad dog and the English man. And I was like, I thought he just made that up on the spot.
No,
but it's true.
This is another idiom.
It's a mad dog. He was a mad dog of that.
We're gonna teach you some idioms for the life of the UK.
We will.
I was like having a heat stroke. I was like, what the fuck are you on about? But it's true. Like, no, the Englishman is going out at midday in any hot condition in Rhodesia.
Yeah.
Which is so cool, by the way. Rhodesia was, Was Cuba English or was it not? It seems French to me.
It should have been English.
No, I mean, my Cuba trip.
But who did the colonizing? That
Spain.
Spain.
That's why it's all messed up now.
I mean,
they can't even control their own.
Yeah.
To be fair, we did Jamaica. That's a disaster area now.
I really want to go to Jamaica because you're sending me those videos of that Russian woman who lives in Jamaica and she speaks Jamaican patois.
Speaks Jamaican.
And yeah, I want to go. I want to experience the culture. I was listening to Sinead O'Connor's reggae album.
I just think it's amazing Sinead O'Connor did a reggae album.
She was super into reggae and like Rastafarianism. And she was hanging out with all those guys in New York. And then a bunch of them got arrested for like smuggling guns and like killing people. And then she was like, what the fuck, guys? I thought you were all about like peace and like like chill.
The Rastas were never a fan of me. They were a bunch of
Rastas. I find that hard to imagine.
I would like sit down with the Rastas at a club and then they would be like having their, oh, what's the soda that they have? It's like an orange soda. And then like I would be like, oh, I'll have one of those. And they're like, yeah, will you have one of those? And I was like, oh, okay, like I'm just trying to like integrate into your culture.
That wasn't very Irie of them.
Yeah, what?
That wasn't very Irie of them.
No.
Everything was not Irie in the club.
No.
I really can't.
They're not
think
nice to you when you're
better opportunity to bring this up, but there's a wonderful, wonderful story about what could have been the most Freudcast coded island ever to exist. Dominica, I think, actually, which I think you've mentioned
genius,
your favourite place on Earth.
That's the
genius, it's like paradise.
In the early 1980s, the incredibly corrupt president or prime minister of Dominica, I'm not sure which, got ousted and ends up in New Orleans. And he made contact with a bunch of people from the Ku Klux Klan, who sort of brought in a number of other white supremacists, including, I think, Don Black, who ends up setting up Stormfront.
Don Black?
Yes, Don Black of Stormfront fame.
Which we condemn.
Which you condemn unreservedly. His son, incidentally, is now his daughter. It's a bizarre story. Derek Black ends up running Stormfront for a while and then became Ethel Black, I think.
Which, I'm actually not sure.
I was going to say, that was my issue with that.
No, that is the obvious issue with this trajectory. You're absolutely right. I was thinking Ethel is actually a remarkably understated name. They're generally called Lilith or what's the other one?
Kronk.
Isma. But anyway, the former president of Dominica got in touch with the bunch of white supremacists who who managed to get hold of some money from, I think, a dentist consortium of all places in New Orleans. You need a consortium of dentists.
You need a based island with a dentist consortium.
And
because on God, we're going to get you to that island.
These people got
to
in touch
to the Tuff Island.
Tuff. Years in the Tuff Island.
In a year or so.
Yeah. I think we need a Welsh knot in the studio to hand to Rose when she does this.
I'm just going to start doing the podcast in Welsh. I can't be done with this.
I could co-host. I now know the words for triangle, prison, melancholy, and beer.
What's prison?
Carcar.
Carhar.
Carhar. I'll get it. Carhar. Carhar. I'll get it.
It's like Loch.
That makes sense. Or Chela. We're Welsh being the genus of...
exactly. We're like the lost tribe.
Anyway, once the Ku Klux Klan, dental consortium and the former president needed more muscle to take over Dominica, so they turned to the obvious people who could help, which was the Rastafarians.
Bro, this is crazy. They
ended up planning out this coup, after which the white supremacists would run half of Dominica as a sort of white-only section. Uh-huh. There'd be another half for the Rastas where they could all grow marijuana and sell it elsewhere.
Wow.
And
it's legal there. There was, when we where we stayed in the Airbnb, they were growing it in the garden.
I think it wasn't legal in the 1980s, and it certainly wasn't legal in some places that were planning to sell it. But ultimately, they were about a week before setting off, when the establishment decided they couldn't deal with white supremacists and black supremacists living together in harmony in the narco state, and everyone got arrested under a 19th century law which prohibits American citizens from overthrowing governments in the Caribbean. Loads of people went to prison. It was a great story. It would have been the most Freudcast coded island
in
existence.
So they lived in peace together.
They would have lived. They might have lived in peace. It would have probably fallen apart for the week. But it was a lovely idea. And Operation Red Dog. Look it up on Wikipedia if you haven't.
Operation what?
Red Dog.
Red Dog.
Okay.
Big Dog.
Operation Big Dog.
That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
I feel
heard.
Like it would work there. Everyone is like so chill. It's like the most chill, friendly place I've ever been.
You gotta be.
And like contrasted with the other Caribbean islands where people are like really aggy.
So aggy. The poverty is making them so aggy.
Yeah. The cannibal gangs in Haiti should take a chill pill. Just slightly. But,
have you smoked? And I don't like weed. I mean, it's
I
one of the
genuinely
worst.
Dislike it. So
it's disgusting, right?
I think we've received our 5-minute warning.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. You got to wind up.
Yeah. But
I think edibles are different because I hate the smell of weed mainly. I think when you go around London and everywhere just smells of weed and it's disgusting. Like around here. Like when I was walking here.
I quite like it, but turns out skunkweed. I ran over a skunk a couple of days ago.
Intentionally?
Actually, I was in a passenger seat because I can't drive. But we ran over a skunk, and I was like, "Damn, that smells of weed."
Really?
And then the lady that was driving was like, "Weed is named after skunk. That's why it's called skunkweed."
eats it.
A run over skunk smells of weed.
Really? Fact. Wow. I thought it would smell way worse because of like the cartoons where
Pepe
they released
the Pew, etc.
Yeah, you'd think, but it actually smells quite nicely of weed, which I actually do quite like the smell of
damn.
Weed.
Damn. Because you're spiritually black.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a bad drug. So have you taken the weed?
I have smoked marijuana filled reefer cigarettes in yeah. jazz clubs. Sorry, I'm sorry, Mr. Hitchens.
Did you say freedom and them?
Freedom and them. I never liked it. I've always been much more interested in stimulants. Which yeah. of course was one of the many things the Summer of Bovril was all about. You'll be glad to know I used up the last of the Adderall for this podcast. if you notice me flagging slightly, it's because I've been wearing off and reality is starting to intrude slightly.
Okay, let's get some bags
on that. Yes, please do get some bags in. On that rather bleak note, I think
let's wrap up.
Anglo-futurists have been waving and, 5-minute warning at me for the last 5 minutes.
Eat some pudding.
We're going to eat some posset.
They've been obsessed with this pudding. I could feel their pudding vibe. From the back.
they have little boy craving pudding vibe.
I'm going to plough through a possible workout some way of getting home. I would just like to thank the Foyds immensely for having me on. I've really enjoyed
thank
myself.
You for coming.
It's been absolutely delightful.
Did you have a nice time?
I really did enjoy myself
even
tremendously.
With these things
even
the back.
With the Anglo-futurists
glaring over us.
Stony faced audience. It's been delightful.
Gallery.
They didn't laugh at shit.
No.
Oh, now they're laughing.
No, I was looking at Callum a lot for approval. He was laughing.
Okay.
Tom was not feeling it.
But I really have been very impressed with the Void cast. It's been absolutely wonderful. That really has been a high point of my summer. And I really think it's fantastic. very pleased. I predict great things, and great things have been achieved.
Thank you for supporting us as well. We've had most men have hated us.
They're wrong. That's not true in the slightest.
You've really supported us, and that's really...
I think you have influenced the the Moids.
The Bovril sphere is going to listen to Foycast.
Whether they like it or not.
Okay, cheers, Autumn Bovril.
Cheers, Autumn Bovril. Okay.